Today on Straight Talk Africa, Nigeria has a new occupant in Aso Rock, the nation's seat of political power. President Muhammadu Buhari's historic election is the first since independence to reflect the will of the Nigerian people. But observers are skeptical as to whether this could be the new political dawn or more of the same. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, June 3rd. I am Shaka Sali.
Well, hello, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the challenges and the opportunities facing the new Buhari administration and examine if Nigeria's new president will bring a new era of leadership for Africa's most populous nation and largest economy.
And you were there with us before, during, and after the elections, and now post-inauguration, with so much to say. Well, coming up later in our STA inbox, we will share your thoughts through emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, General Muhammadu Buhari is the new president of Nigeria. The former military ruler was sworn in amid rousing cheers last Friday. My colleague, Paul Ndiho, has more on the story.
In a ceremony broadcast live by Nigerian television, Muhammadu Buhari took the oath of office in the capital, Abuja.
I, Muhammadu Buhari, do solemnly swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the Federal Republic of Nigeria, and that I will preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. So help me God.
Outgoing President Jonathan Goodluck attended the ceremony, smiling and wearing his signature wide-brimmed hat as he stood next to his successor. President Buhari faces a litany of major issues, including high unemployment, corruption, violence by the terrorist group Boko Haram in Nigeria's vast northern region. The latter issue is a serious problem that his predecessor vowed to solve but couldn't. Nigeria is a major power in Africa. It is the most populous, the biggest economy, and it is the continent's largest oil producer. But government coffers have been hit by massive corruption, a devalued Naira currency, low oil prices, and a $63 billion US dollar debt, which steadily grows as Nigeria borrows more money to pay government salaries. President Buhari said that he will have zero tolerance on corruption. For residents who have never seen a peaceful transfer of power, the historic transition was a long time coming.
Today it is a day that we will never ever forget in our life. It is the day that the Nigeria got a great change. The change that is in the history, it has never happened in the history. And we are appreciating, we are happy for this day.
Wow, I feel very happy for this inauguration that today a great man in the Nigerian history will emerge as the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I am very, very happy.
Residents are displaced by Boko Haram are expressing hope that the new Nigerian administration will crush the militant group and make it safe for them to go back home.
And we know that here we found a solution about the Boko Haram, and I believe that Boko Haram will be vanished very soon.
Expectations are higher for the 72-year-old Buhari, but the unprecedented peaceful transition of power is seen by the international community as a promising start for his new administration. Paul Ndiho, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Now joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Dr. Iyabo Obasanjo, distinguished fellow at Boston University's African Presidential Center, the daughter of former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo, Dr. Obasanjo also served as a senator for Ogun State in Nigeria's National Assembly from 2007-2011. And Sylvester Okele, the national chairman of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo campaign, is expected, of course, to be joining us anytime now. Well, I have to come to you immediately, Senator Obasanjo, even though in fact you do not use it. I have to tell you frankly that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time in the Washington studios.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. But before we begin today's discussion, let's get an update on what's happening on the ground since last week's historic inauguration. And for that, I am joined by my colleague Aliyu Mustafa, managing editor of the Voice of America's Hausa service, who joins us via telephone link from the capital itself, Abuja. Good evening, Aliyu.
Hello, Mr. Shaka. How are you doing?
I am hugely terrific. What is the mood like from your vantage point?
Well, the mood in Nigeria is still very optimistic, and people are greatly hopeful. Like you always say, keep that hope alive. People are doing exactly that in Nigeria. There's a lot of expectation, though, on the part of Nigerians. You know, Nigeria is beset by a lot of problems. And a lot of people think Buhari has come with a magic wand, but Buhari and his people have been trying to tell everybody to take it easy and that these things will take time. But generally, the mood is positive and people are looking forward to a great 4 years ahead.
You know, of course, as well as I do, that unless you have hope, you are as good as dead. Now that they seem to be on the right track, what specifically do they expect to get from the new occupant of Aso Rock?
Well, he made it clear what he intends to do in his inaugural speech on Friday when he stated that one of the major issues he plans to tackle immediately is the issue of Boko Haram, obviously. And as I speak to you right now, he's in the Niger Republic, having a negotiation or consultation with his Nigerian counterpart, Mr. Mohamed Yusufu, and tomorrow he goes to Chad to continue that discussion. And you know, both are two of the three or four countries that have been working along with Nigeria to fight the Boko Haram element. And in addition to that, it is expected that the other major problem he's going to be tackling is probably the power supply, which is still very erratic. Nigeria is currently about just 1,300 or 400 megawatts, which is barely enough to power an airport like Heathrow in London. And after that, we are expecting to go into other related problems.
I know that during the inauguration, he said that, in fact, he did give a directive that the operational headquarters fighting Boko Haram should immediately be relocated from Abuja to Maiduguri. How has that been received among the people that you have interacted with?
Well, it's been very positively received, especially by people in Maiduguri, Borno State, as well as people in Yobe and Adamawa State, and by the generality of the Nigerian populations. But it appears that the military is not very excited about the prospect of moving senior army officers to Maiduguri. As a matter of fact, today there was some concern expressed by the military trying to explain that what the president meant was that some major generals, not the senior army officers or the service chiefs, should move to Maiduguri. So there seems to be some mystery or darkness in terms of the definition of that movement to Maiduguri. We are waiting for the military or for the president himself to make things a little bit clearer. But while this is happening, some contingent of the Nigerian army have been flown to Maiduguri, and you know that's already an established barracks and military center in Maiduguri. And I talk that is what will be upgraded to become the new command center. in Borno State.
Ali, what about a report by Amnesty International, which was released today, suggesting, in fact, that the Nigerian military may have committed war crimes against the people in that part of Nigeria where, of course, there are military activities?
That report indicates that as many as 7,000 young men and boys may have been killed or may have died in the hands of the military. And the military has, predictably come out to deny that, describing that report as biased. And this report is likely to generate even more interest in the role that the military has played in this Boko Haram saga. You know, the military has always been under some sort of focus, if you will, for the role, for the suspected role that they played. And also there is the issue of corruption in addition to these new charges brought about by the Amnesty International. So I expect that this new report from the Amnesty International Human Rights Group is likely to make the job of fighting Boko Haram even harder, because if the focus is now on the investigation of senior military officers which have been named within the report, then the focus will shift a little bit away from the fight against Boko Haram back to the military and its role, past, present, and future, in terms of this fight.
Well, thank you very much, Aliyu Mustafa, for your interesting report. And enjoy some fruits of democracy, but make sure that you bring some and share them with us here back in Washington.
Okay, Mr. Chakasan, I'll do my best. Thank you so much for having me on the program. Have a good evening.
You're most welcome, sir. Now, for more on the new Buhari administration, we are joined by Alhaji Elai Mohammed, the chief spokesperson of the ruling All Progressive Congress Party, or APC, who also joined us incidentally via telephone link up from the capital, Abuja. Good evening, Alai Mohammed.
Good evening, sir.
Hey, first of all, I think congratulations are in order for the pomp and pageantry that I saw during the inauguration of President Buhari Friday.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. You know, of course, the people of Nigeria have a lot of expectations out of your victory. Are you ready to deliver, goods to them, really? Because people can't wait. They are waiting for service delivery. How prepared are you to do that?
Well, I think as a political party, we are aware that the expectation is very high. And we can not give excuses. We must be able to surmount all obstacles to deliver on our election promises. It is true that we are not inheriting a very healthy post, but nonetheless, we want to assure Nigerians that we will not renege on our electoral promises.
You obviously do have a lot in your manifesto, but I'm sure you know that there is a saying that when politicians are running for office, they do that in poetry, but when they win and start the business of governing, that one is done in prose. Are you prepared to prove that theory wrong?
Well, we are prepared to do everything within our ability to ensure that it's not business as usual. We are ready to make the necessary sacrifices. We have the commitment, we have the determination. And I think more importantly is that we have a leadership that has such a high integrity quota that we know can drive the change and drive the new drive the a new philosophy of governance, right, which is going to be a government, you know, of service.
There is no question that you do have overwhelming support in the country, and I might add, in fact, regionally and continentally, and goodwill from the international community. What are some of the specific things that you need to accomplish beginning from today, at least in the next 100 days?
Well, I think the most important thing we must achieve is to work towards a change of attitude on the part of Nigerians. We must work to enthrone a new culture, a new code of conduct, whereby service, integrity, honesty will become the watchword. A new code of conduct that will emphasize that good conduct, hard work, merit will be rewarded, and any unpatriotic act will be sanctioned. I think this change of attitude and this enthronement of new code of conduct will be necessary to drive the change regime which we intend to establish in the country.
You know, Lai, most people have the feeling that General Buhari has come to Aso-Rock with a broom to sweep out corruption. How specifically is he going to go about that business, really? Because when you look at a lot of reports in the last so many years, Nigeria seems to be among the world champions, frankly, when it comes to corruption. How are you going to change the attitudes and the mindsets of people who have been doing business as usual?
Well, I think, again, we are fortunate that we have a leader who has a track record of being very upright, being very honest, and a leader who is going to lead by example. Our experience in this country is that Nigeria is not that difficult to govern if the leader shows, you know, a good example. I believe that General Buhari, by his own conduct, is going to drive this new regime of change. As to changing people's attitude and their ways of doing business, I think the new government would have to embark on very robust advocacy and very robust enlightenment programs, in which we are going to set a new standard, a new code of conduct for all Nigerians. It has been done before, so we are very confident that we can, you know, very easily, you know, replicate it.
What about the economy, which some people say that is stupid, you know, as far as Nigeria is concerned? And of course, when you talk about the rate of unemployment, especially among the young people, that is simply too much. Do you have any specific magic wand that you are going to use in order to alleviate that situation?
There's definitely no magic wand, but we have a program of action which we believe will tackle, you know, robustly the malaise of, you know, youth unemployment. To start with, we intend to embark on massive public work programs, such as, you know, fixing of roads, you know, hospitals, you know, rail track, and the like. That's going to absorb, you know, a lot of our unemployed youth. We intend to go back into agriculture, mining, and manufacturing, because these are the real sectors of the economy that can actually generate jobs for our youth. We are also embarking on training and retraining via vocational, you know, institutes of many of our graduates and many of our unemployed youth. Yes, we are very aware of the high percentage of unemployed youth in the country, and we are putting in motion the machinery for tackling these malaise.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll stop right there. And I would like to thank Alhaji Lai Mohammed, the chief spokesperson of the ruling party, the All Progressive Congress, and for sharing, of course, his perspective with us today. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Buhari Change, or VOA Change is here. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
Here are some highlights of Muhammadu Buhari's inaugural speech. He was sworn in as Nigeria's new president on Friday, May 29th in Abuja. I would like to thank President Goodluck Jonathan for his display of statesmanship in setting a precedent for us that has now made our people proud to be Nigerians wherever they are. I would like to thank the millions of our supporters who believed in us even when the cause seemed hopeless. I salute their resolve in waiting long hours in the rain and hot sunshine to register and cast their votes. I thank those who tirelessly carried the campaign on the social media. I intend to keep my oath and serve as president to all Nigerians. I belong to everybody.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart, and welcome back. Today we are talking about the challenges and opportunities facing the new Buhari administration. Our distinguished guests are Dr. Iyabo Obasanjo, Distinguished Fellow at Boston University's African Presidential Center, the daughter of former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo. Dr. Obasanjo also served as a senator for Ogun State, Nigeria's National Assembly from 2007 to 2011. And Sylvester Okele, the National Chairman of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo Campaign. He also is also the African representative of the National Democratic Ethnic Coordinating Council of the Democratic National Committee here in the nation's capital. Well, I have to say frankly again that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to host the two of you again on Straight Talk Africa.
Nice to have you.
You're most welcome. Mm-hmm. I know that the last time that we talked, both of you predicted that Buhari would be the next president of Nigeria. Why were you so sure about that?
I was sure mostly because I think that it was obvious in terms of the 5 years that President Jonathan had been in power, that a lot of missteps had been made politically.
About six years,
because he had ended the two, he ended 18 months of the first of the Yar'Adua administration. And a lot of political missteps have been made. And politics is a game of numbers. If you don't have the numbers, you can't win. Mm. And it was obvious to me that the ruling party did not have the numbers. And that was why I predicted, and I was very sure that President Buhari, then General Buhari, would win the elections.
But someone might say, this is Africa, where it is very, very difficult for an incumbent to hold an election that he or she is going to lose. This man had tons of money. He had obviously name recognition. He had structures throughout the country. He had state administrative structures that, in fact, he could, turn into party structures and all that kind of stuff. How come at the end of the day, when you look at the map of Nigeria, he was essentially confined to his own neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. You see, the point is this. My mom always said that you can tell a blind man that there is no oil in his soup, but not that there is no salt, because he's going to test it and he knows. So the people have realized that all along they've been manipulated. They're being used, which is the usual slogan in Nigeria, use them and dump them. So when people are living in insecurity, when youths have no job, and these are the youths that you put on the street, these are the youths whose mothers are sitting and wait, expecting them to take care of them, but they have no jobs. And then girls are being kidnapped. Women have no confidence to go out to market. People cannot go to church and worship because the numbers come from the church. Mosques are afraid of going to worship. So then what else do you expect? So they knew these people were lying and cruising lives, spending money, yet the economy is growing according to what they say. Nigeria is number one in the map, but the people are under the map. So a time will come the people, the Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. And I think the people are not getting it. And I hope that democracy will continue to grow and then we'll begin to eliminate the godfatherism that has kept us where we are.
Any particular reason why he did not do something decisive, really, about fighting Boko Haram in the northeastern part of Nigeria, really,
yes,
for 6 years?
You can only give what you have. You have no experience, you have no clue on security. You see, the issue of security is settled. You look at the steps. He was just inaugurated. He stepped out.
But he has experienced people, for example, the man who was the Minister for Defense, a very experienced man, a very senior military officer in the Nigerian army, correct?
I think what we had in Nigeria, what we have, and Alhaji Lai Mohammed mentioned it, is a structural program. And I think the example that and the leadership of President Buhari will help. But I don't think an awareness campaign is enough. We've had a system in which really nothing works. And until you can't create change until you accept. So we have, and I think part of the election was Nigerians accepting that we needed change. Now is for us as a people to now put the steps in place. And as for why the machinery of state did not help, I think the world has changed. Till to 20 years ago, for example, you could undermine democracy in a lot of parts of the world. Now, people were posting the result of their polling station on social media for the world to see. The person there could not, the polling agent cannot take that result and go change it somewhere. So there are a lot of things, and I think there's a lot of more awareness. People might be poor, but they are aware of their rights and of what democracy is. And I think that it can only be for good. And
the era, of course, of social media, satellite, fiber, optics, and you name it. Well, we obviously, some of us happen to be, I guess, kids of what they would call the Gutenberg factor, where you must learn how to read and write. Well, you're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Diaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka, and thanks to the shout-out about social media. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through where? Social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan who has a lot of confidence in the new Nigerian administration.
Okwon.